Burn that rubber like I'm Michelin. Five star food that I dish to them. Chef sat on when I whip in the kitchen, and I switch suits like I'm Mr. Ben.
10-10 gear, I shift up to fifth. Blues in the rear and I'm swerving the mains like Tokyo Drift. Took a shot, but he missed. Then made love to the grin and kissed
the curb. What's the word? I dodge your case, so I flip the bird. Grab the bin, get back to work. Then I'm switching lanes and I flex out
hurt. I'll hurt him. One thing's for sure and two things for certain. When he gets made and the pecs, I'm serving him. Mess with a cake and I bet him a burger.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What Will Fergie Do? Why, it's been a long time since I've said those words together like that.
Yo, I was actually thinking of a reason to give the fans on why we've been out for a while. I think the thing that came to my mind is we're having illegal battle. Like, I was going to say, man, we've been through 6 months of legal battle and we came out of victor.
ongoing legal battles. Oh my God, that's funny. The voice you just said there was Mr. Francis, and I usually go by Mr. Olujimi. See, I'm wrong there. I usually just say Olujimi, but. And today we're also joined by the man who loves to introduce himself.
El Maestro, a.k.a. the Guarantor's Promise, a.k.a. your favorite guarantor, a.k.a. John Wick. As always, I need to update you guys because a lot's happened. El Maestro is making his acting debut this year. Yes, you're going to see me in the movies.
It's out already, though. It's on Netflix.
No, it's not out yet. No, it's on Netflix. It's going to be on Netflix, but it's actually not out. You guys think I'm joking. I'm actually...
Wait. Are we talking about the Maestro movie?
Nah.
Or a different one?
No, I'm actually going to be in a movie.
Okay. Word? So do you want to touch on the Maestro movie that first came out earlier, late last year?
That was last year's news, along with John Wick. That's last year's news. Let's chill out with that.
I'm just trying to give you your accolades for that one, because it seems like, you know, a lot of people seen it, but nobody, you know, applauded you for the remarkable work. So, great job, and we can't wait to see what's in store for this year.
I pray that in 2024 you find people that really support you and, you know, hold your work in high esteem, and not these charlatans, not these frauds.
Yeah.
Empty briefcase niggas. But I'm going to be making my movie debut this year. I'm also going to be producing a short film as well. As you guys know, the album was delayed, but delay is not, what's the word again?
Denial.
Thank you so much. Look at that. Finishing our sentences.
Of course now. Didier McMill.
I was just going to do that. Hey,
yo.
The McMill, my baby.
Hey, yo.
Bugatti boys.
I need pause audio on a podcast.
Think for me.
So, you know, album coming soon. Also working on a book as well. So it's gonna be a creative year for me, you know, a few different outlets. You know, being back in Lagos has really agreed with me. So look out for all these things coming soon. We'll see. I'll keep you guys posted.
2024 is about to be a banger for El Maestro.
You already know.
Wow, where do we even start from? There's been a ton that has happened with United. Mostly bad, but a few good things. United, the Ineos group now officially has 25% stake in United. And with that comes some promises that they are making. There are rumors of them, you know, looking at ETH and being like, okay, we'll see what it does towards the end of the season. They're talking about, I think, do we already have a director of football?
No.
Or they're looking into that?
Yeah, we only have a CEO.
Okay, so we have a CEO. They're looking at a director of football. I think.
But we have somebody in mind for the director of football role. So we have Omar Barada as the CEO. And then Dan Ashworth has been approached to be, I believe, the director of football, but he, Newcastle put him on gardening leave.
Yeah, I don't even know what that meant. I saw that, like, I was like, what does that even mean?
So a lot of times when these guys sign these contracts, they'll have, part of it will say that, like, you know, you have, first of all, you have a non-compete. So now if you want to break that non-compete, you know, you have to. So at the end of, if you resign, you might have to wait a year before you can take another job in that same line of work. They'll still pay you for that period. So right now he's on gardening leave, he's still getting paid, but he can't just take the United job. So Newcastle is asking for, I think, somewhere in the region of, like they said initially, 20 million. And so I think United is telling them that they are willing to wait. Like, if this is the number you guys are going to call, we'll just wait it out. Like, but he, it means that he might not actually start a job. If they don't negotiate, he might not start a job to 2026. But I think eventually they will probably come to an agreement. So that is already working itself out one way or another. The question is now, like, you know, how long it's going to take before he's in position and can actually work for United. But, like, even Omar Barada, like, he left, but he can't take the job till the summer at the earliest with United.
Yeah, like, this is even a surprising thing. Like, I didn't even know when did they start asking for a fee on anyone other than a footballer?
No, I think it's probably not, because it's they don't usually make those things news, if that makes sense. But
I think if it happens, the numbers will be thrown out there, because the only time I just realized this was Dan Ashworth got signed from Brighton, right? Yeah.
So the same and thing happened.
Exactly. Brighton actually paid, I think, 3 or 5 million for him. That way he wouldn't through his gardening leave from the beginning to the end, so they cut it short.
Yeah, Newcastle paid Brighton.
Yeah, I was going to say Newcastle paid Brighton. Yeah.
Oh yeah, was it Newcastle that called? Or
you said
Brighton paid.
Oh yeah, Newcastle paid Brighton. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I think five million, and now I think they're quoting United 20 million for Dan Ashworth, and I'm like, bro, this guy is not a footballer. Like, what are we paying 20 million
for? Also have to keep in mind that, like, it's the United tax. It's the same reason why we spend higher than most people would on players. It's just because they think, you know, it's United, like, we can either afford it or we have,
yeah, you know, I don't know if it's United per se in this case. I mean, it's United won, but I think if Dan Ashworth is leaving Newcastle, he'll be going to a club that is better than Newcastle or bigger than Newcastle. Right.
Yeah, so, but you know, Newcastle, they themselves are also looking at themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, that's my next point.
So they're trying
Newcastle is also getting in a position where they are beginning to compete with the big boys. So it's like, if you're going to pluck a strong leaf from us, then it's not going to be easy. We need to, like, charge you.
This also just speaks to some of the, you know, the mismanagement that we've seen at United over the years, because Ferguson called Richard Arnold and told him about Dan Ashworth before he went to Newcastle. But when this guy calls him, Richard Arnold calls him, I think he even told Ed first and then told Richard when Richard got into power. And when Richard Arnold calls Dan Ashworth, he's telling him he wants him to work under, what's this idiot's name that's on our team? John Murta. That's why he didn't take the job.
Oh.
Why is John Murta an idiot? You don't like the guy.
John Murta is an idiot now. Come on. Like, let's have how much information do you need? He's been there since David Moyes. What was his role exactly? And now that he has we've seen two summers of John Murta in with ETH, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the one responsible for how that money was spent. So you're saying that, okay, you want to get Dan Ashworth right now, or you're saying it's a good move for us to get Dan Ashworth. Okay, so like, for people who don't know, Dan Ashworth has like a track record of essentially success, let's put it that way, you know, from, I think he started West Brom, then, or maybe it was even England first. No, I think it was West Brom.
Yeah, West Brom, England,
Brighton,
Newcastle.
Yeah, and you look at like a lot of the signings he made, well, I should say he made because he wasn't responsible for the signings, but you can see that the structure he's created has resulted in success, right? Like you can look at, what's the name of that left back that Chelsea signed for like a ridiculous amount? I
forget. Cucurella.
Cucurella,
Caicedo, the winger that is now out for the season.
Mitoma.
Ben White that is in Arsenal.
Ben White is trash. Like,
wow. But again, Ben White got trash,
the. I don't think it's trash, but he got to go from Brighton to Arsenal, right? So what I'm trying to say is like he's been responsible for a lot of like for some of Brighton's success. Then he goes to Newcastle, and you can also see that that success has followed, right? Like the way Newcastle have signed people. Obviously, yeah. Tonali has had his own issues, but as a player, he was doing well. You look at Bruno Guimarães, you look at Isak, you know, the two guys, Harvey Barnes and the other guy from Everton. Like these, some of these signings have
even Livermento, that was a good deal.
Livermento, Trippier, the two the defenders now that they have, like, you know, so. You look at that and you say, this is the person that you saw and you said you wanted to report to John Mercer that himself doesn't even have any experience that you can speak of. And so now he goes to Newcastle and then now you're now trying to bring him back for John Mercer to report to him, you know? So, yeah, I just think it's, you know, some of these things are things that could have been avoided if we just decided that we were serious about whatever we're doing. But hopefully we can start. We have to start from somewhere, so you know.
Yeah, I guess that's. I guess my next question would be like, what do we think about now that we know that, you know, Ineos is officially has 25%? Like, does it make you feel different about United? Even adding the fact that they are looking to do any all these things like director of football, do you still think that actually changes anything about how the club is run? Or do you think it's just the same old bullshit, just different packaging?
Sorry. Jimmy, I missed the question.
I was talking about like the Ineos coming in. Do you think it's the same old bullshit or do you think it's different packaging?
Oh, man, you never know, right? They've started off strong, though. They've started off... one would say on the right path with like some of the moves that they've made, and they're moving in silence, and it seems like they're moving swift. Apart from, you know, maybe this Dan Ashworth one that has lingered longer than normal, but I mean I'm optimistic. It's not like I have a choice. We have to be optimistic, right? And in this case, I think I am. I'm just looking forward to them making the right decisions at the very top, and then transferring that same process to the players on the field, then we'll see how it goes. I don't know if we will be able to tell in the next 1-2 years how this is going to go. But if the appointments that they make in the future align with what they did, you know, in the past week or past month, then I think it should be positive signs.
So basically, we're technically going through another rebuild is what you're saying.
Another not rebuild. this is the only rebuild that I know of.
No, but we've been doing this cycle every 3 years, like we do this cycle.
but that's not really rebuilding if you're not really rebuilding. You know, then I think we've been papering over cracks. I won't call it rebuilding. Like people can call it rebuilding the past, but I personally don't think that's what we're doing, because we didn't actually sit down and understand what is the root of our problem, do a root cause analysis, figure out what these things are, and then try to fix the problem. I think for us, we were just throwing money at it, thinking it was going to resolve everything. And then, I mean, here we are 13 years or 10 years later. Is it 10? Yeah, 10 or 11 years later, we're still in the same place, right? And it's not for a lack of not spending. We've actually spent a lot of money, but we spent a lot of money on, I won't even say we spent a lot of money on rubbish. We spent a lot of money.
It's rubbish.
Yes. No, I won't. No. And the reason why I'll say it's not rubbish per se is a lot of these players that we've signed, individually, they're not bad players. But collectively, we're a bad team. And that's because from the top to the bottom, we're never aligned. All the managers that we've signed, each and every one of them is different identity-wise. What's that guy?
Moyes,
the first one. Moyes was very different from Mourinho. Mourinho was the exact opposite of Louis van Gaal. Van Gaal, the same with Solskjaer, very different. And now to ETH. So it's like these guys signed.
Ralph.
Yeah, but Ralph didn't sign anybody, right?
Nah, I'm just going to throw Ralph in there.
Oh, and the thing is, each of these coaches, apart from Moyes, signed at least maybe 8 to 12 players. And the next coach has to remove the 8 to 12 players and bring his own. So we've spent money in stupid ways, but it's like I would never want to one day say that was a rebuild, because if that's a rebuild, then that building contractor needs to be fired.
And the way, you know, it's looking now, we might have to do another replacement of players, because ETH has also brought his own players, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have the likes of Anthony. Who else has it brought? Malasia. Varane.
Who is Malasia, Sif? He didn't bring Varane.
Well, Varane was there before him.
That's for sure, yeah.
He brought Eriksen, Martinez.
Amrabat, like all these players.
Double cheeseburger.
Amrabat to go.
But Amrabat is on loan, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mount.
I wish we signed Sabitzer.
Wow.
Nah.
Yeah, I don't care. He won't be playing the way he's playing right now in Dortmund. Like, I don't know if ETH knew how to use Sabitzer.
Is he playing well for Dortmund?
He's playing, I don't know. At least he's playing every week. I've seen a few games of his where I'm like, oh, okay.
I saw Sancho on the pitch playing with a smile.
I was waiting for when somebody was going to say that.
I want to play my football with a smile again. Yeah, that's why I said these guys, we've signed rubbish. The reason why we signed rubbish is because we don't have a plan, right? Yeah. We don't have a plan when we're like, look at, again, even just look at the last 2 years, you know? But even before that, like, in fact, like, how far back do you want to go? There's never been a plan. Like, the summer we signed Ronaldo, Sancho, Varane. You know, on paper, again, these are good players, but it's like that was not the plan, you know. And then you look at who Sancho has become. I wouldn't say Varane has been a travesty for us. I think overall he's been okay, you know. But you look at someone like, we spent the whole summer chasing Frankie de Jong. We got Casemiro. Casemiro plays like 3/4 of the season well, and we just haven't seen that Casemiro since then, right? And so there are just things like that where it's just these players don't come. It's, you know, it's different if the players leave, like Chelsea sells Salah and De Bruyne, and they go and they become these world-class players. Like, it doesn't happen like that for us. These guys go and they don't have a career to speak of outside of United, you know? So it's even hard for me to say that the situation is the only thing that was wrong. It's like the step up was not something they were ready for. And you can see that playing out in Chelsea right now as well. Like, the way Caicedo looks in Chelsea blows my mind when you think of the way he looked in Brighton. Like, players are routinely passing Caicedo now.
That's very true. I used to compare Caicedo with Declan Rice. Oh man, they're
better than Declan Rice.
They're on two different spectrums right now, man.
No. I think what Larry is trying to say, like the difference between Rice and Caicedo is that when Rice went to the bigger club, you know, he stepped up. Like you're trying to say.
No. He's saying the structure in Chelsea is making Caicedo look like a bad player.
Yeah, like if Caicedo went to Liverpool.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were saying Caicedo is not ready for the step up.
No. Went to a different club, you would see a different outcome for him. Like you have a midfield of Caicedo and Enzo. That should be an amazing midfield. But the team doesn't have like a style. Like, what is Chelsea? Who are they? What style? Like,
so, but for Chelsea, would you relate it to the coach?
Yeah, but who was the coach before that?
But the coach didn't have Caicedo and Enzo now. It was just Poch.
But they've been spending this money for 2 years.
What's his name? Graham Potter.
Graham Potter. Like, we just talked about Cucurella that they signed for 60-something million pounds. Mm-hmm. Cucurella can't play for them anymore. Cucurella almost came on loan to United. They signed Cucurella last season.
It was last season.
Graham Potter was their coach last season.
Yeah, he brought him from like Brighton.
From Brighton. He got fired like not long into the season. You know, so it's like that structure, like look at what they've done to remove, like the way they are buying and the way they are selling players. It's not just based on who is good, who fits. It's like, no, we want to bring in new players. So we're going to sell old players because it works for the books. Right. So once you start getting into those kind of territories, like we United and Chelsea are moving, these are the kind of things that you see, you know, in terms of no having no structure for the players to be able to come in and thrive. So at least with this, like initially for me, when we didn't get sold to Qatar, I had already started writing the team off. Like I lost interest, to be honest. Because I just felt like the Glazers are still here. This is still going to be a problem. And I still feel that way because there's not going to be enough money to make some of the changes that you want to make. Right? Like this money that they've been blowing all these years, is this structure going to have access to that same amount of money? You know, the pressure is on to make sure that every dollar or every pound is spent in a very good way. You can't really make too many mistakes, you know, but our own mistakes are bad. Like Anthony is an amazing mistake. I heard ETH talking about Anthony the other day, saying that when he plays the way that he actually knows how to play, no defender can stay in front of him. Are you mad?
Is ETH the thing? ETH is beginning to
annoy. Yo, ETH is a Yahoo boy. I've told you guys this. ETH is a Yahoo boy.
I think listening to him, and I think I always get to that. Like maybe it is a phase for me. Like I start up by.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Giving you a chance, and then I'm beginning to question you. But because I give you a chance, and I like what you've done, or maybe your history, you get a pass. And then when things are not going well, everything just pours out. I'm like, this guy's voice is actually annoying. Especially when he says that, like, bro. Oh, man.
ETH, oh my God. Anyways, like what you were saying.
No. That's it. Like, I don't know if you want to segue into ETH or want to say, because that one is a long conversation in its own right, too, is... You know,
have you given your thoughts on Ineos?
Oh, yeah, we just discussed
for
that.
Ineos, so for me, what the thing I would say is, I feel like it's the best case scenario with the Glazers staying that Ineos is there. I didn't believe in Ineos when they first signed. I just thought it would be more of the same.
Can I ask a question? Do they have? They don't have. Control interest though, right? Or how does
they
this
do.
Work?
They're in control of the football
side.
Part of the sporting side, yeah. So
who are you talking about? Glazers or Ineos?
Ineos.
Yeah, they're in control of the football.
So basically what so they can't be no interference from Glazers is what I'm
asking. Not that there can't be interference. The Glazers are still on the board, right? So,
yeah.
And they still have the majority shares. So they can definitely have a say. But the way it happens, so like
even if Ineos needs to override them, can they override them? I guess is my point when it comes to footballing decisions. I'm not talking about the overall money and everything. When it comes to the actual footballing decisions, can Ineos
I don't think Ineos can override Glazers as a whole, because each person has a percentage of shares and then they are on the board. So they would have to go through a vote, right? Whoever has the highest amount of votes.
Yeah, wins. But it's not everything you vote on. So right now, Ineos has control of the footballing side.
Yes.
But I'll use this as an example. Omar Berada is the Ineos hire, right? So on the board now, you have Ratcliffe, you have Jean-Claude, what's his name? Blanc. And then you have Brailsford. Yeah. So those guys are the ones that hired Omar Berada. Omar Berada is CEO of United. It's not just a footballing role, right? Like, he's going to be in charge of the commercial side as well. Now, for the commercial side, so, like, because he's a Ineos hire, he still works for United, but the people he reports to are those people primarily. But he's going to report to the board as a whole, right? But the idea is that the Glazers are going to say, okay, hands off on everything. Let's just make sure we get paid. But say in 3 years' time or in 2 years' time, Omar Berada is fucking up, you know, they are hemorrhaging money, they can come back and take the control, right? But as part of the terms, you say, okay, these guys are going to get control of the football side. But again, like I said, Omar Berada is not just in charge of the football side. Like, when I say football, he's also going to, his job is going to be overseeing commercial relations, how to grow the club. You know, and then there'll be people that will report to him. So you will have a structure under him. So like Dan Ashworth is now going to be primarily the football side, but he's also still going to end up having to report to Brailsford and Ratcliffe, and in some ways, Omar Berada, right? So the structure that they are creating, the thing that they want to do is they want to have the best people for each of these roles. Right. And so that's where I have some hope for what can become, because it's at least people who know the work that are in charge. Now, my fear is still that the Glazers are there, right? They just got an injection of 2 point something billion pounds. And you can say, okay, at least for now, they're going to split that money, they're going to fall back. But for how long? Right? For how long? And so some of the money that they've been taking out of the club, maybe they can chill and say, okay, let's let the next year or 2 years play out. But how far are we away from Man City or from, you know, I would say Liverpool is about to become mediocre when Klopp goes, so there's no worries there. But how far are we away from where we actually want to be, right? And how long does it take for these changes? Because this change is not going to be a year. Maybe by the time we get to summer. So, for example, if Dan Ashworth is in place, he still has to also get, he's not the one directly in charge of transfers. He's going to hire somebody. There's this guy from Southampton, Jason Wilcox, that is going to become like head of recruitment or something like that, right? So what they are trying to do is get a team of the best people that can then work together to deliver those results. But I don't see those results being delivered, you know, very quickly, because the amount of rubbish that we have, people like John Mertz are still there, you know, Diane Fletcher is still director of football or technical director or some bogus. We just hired some other guy that reports to Mertz, where, you know, like some of these people, they need to be fired, they need to be let go, you know. So I don't know how quickly that change happens.
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess we'll wait and see. Another thing that happened, like, is Rashford releasing a statement recently. I think it was 2 days ago. I'm not going to pretend like I actually read or I saw like what he said. But Larry, do you have like a summary of what he was trying to say, Rashford?
I don't think anyone of us really watched it, but essentially, like, what he's trying to say is something along the lines of, don't question my commitment to United, right? And I don't necessarily think that it's a bad thing for players to speak out, but I'm tired of these fucking guys talking, right? Like, talk about something when it's time to actually talk about something, right? Like, but you acting like you are a victim. Oh, you're getting hate. Oh, the media is against you. Oh, United fans are against you. Whoever it is that is against you, you know what you can do? You can just play better and all that noise goes away. You went to Belfast, you did the most. You were getting drunk and all that shit. You flew back, you lied. You got caught. People were on your case. ETH didn't suspend you. Okay, maybe they said you got back the day you missed training that day. The next day there was a game, you didn't play that game. The very next game against Wolves, you are back in the team. You score a goal, you go to the fans. You are doing your, I can't hear anything, or my head, or my mental, whatever the fuck that shit is. And then nobody talks about Belfast anymore. But one game, and then you are back to your rubbish. And it's like, we're supposed to act like you are not playing trash. Forget even the fact that you scored 30 goals last season. By any metric, this season, you've been woeful. And then when you play, you either don't give enough effort. Like when Rashford gives effort in the Wolves game that I'm saying he scored, it wasn't like everything came up for him. But you can see this guy running up and down. Now, maybe it's not realistic for him to keep those levels. Maybe he doesn't want to play strike. I get it. But at the same time, it's like you only need to look at Rashford for you to understand why people question your commitment. Because we are watching you. You're not playing well. You're talking about the other players like if you don't think that everybody is trying to be successful. Bro, I watched you against Nottingham for... Listen, in the last 5 games, United have conceded 100 shots. Is it 5 games? Yeah, in the last 5 games. Bro, in the last 10 games, we have conceded an average of 17 shots a game. In the time that Klopp has been... Okay, so let me even back up. In that period of time, so in the last 10, I think out of that 10, in 5 of those games, we've conceded at least 20 shots. In the time that Klopp has been in Liverpool, they have not conceded that many shots, period. In like a game, so like they haven't conceded 20 shots in a game 5 times in his entire time in Liverpool. Liverpool is the closest thing that you would say is you have to like a chaotic team where it's like they are playing in transition, right? We are saying that we want to play in transition, right? That's what our coach is saying. We want to be a transitional team. Okay, now, why is it that like the other example of transition teams we can see are not conceding this many chances? We played against, who did we play in the FA Cup? That was like a Division 2 or 3 team. Is it North Camp?
Oh, I know the guy. Hold on, I can't remember. I know the team you're talking about. That they were shooting. They were just hitting shots at our...
I think it was North County.
Newport.
I knew it started with the N.
Yeah.
They had 18 shots. Newport had 18 shots. This is a mediocre, like, second division, English team. Had 18 shots against Manchester United. It's like, even against, like, Nottingham Forest, like, all the games you watch it, you just see teams, Luton the other day.
Yeah.
They had like 20 shots. Mad. Like, so for me, it's like, you can't talk about all these things. Like, we beat Nottingham Forest. This is the first game I've watched fully in a while. And I just remember thinking, like, how did we win that game? How did we win this game? Like, and every game we win is, how did we win this game? Every game we win is, how did we win this game? So for me, it's like Rashford can say what he wants, but ultimately, We are watching you. We're not like the people that are complaining are not stupid. There's a reason. And you will get it the most because you make the most money. And in the eyes of a lot of people, you are the best player on the team. So to put out an interview, to me, it gives me the same fucking Sancho vibes. I want to play football with a smile on my face. I want to. Get the fuck out of what you want to do, man.
Francis, any thoughts on ETH and his tactics or lack thereof?
Man, I think it depends on the day that you ask me this question. Some days I want him to just leave the club. Some days I'm like, what if we give this guy like better players? What would he do with it? But then I want to watch ETH. It's not really the style of play per se. Like, the style of play is one thing, but he makes the same mistakes over and over and again. And it's like, you don't learn in EPL. It's like,
decision making is not, it's very questionable.
And then the comments he makes to back up a game is so frustrating. Like the Anthony thing, he's like, he's one of the quickest players in the first 10 yards. He can beat any player. That then he'll come out and say this performance was a very good performance. He liked it. I'm like, bro, we played rubbish.
Lost to Fulham.
I don't know what this said
they should have.
I don't know what the instruction is. Right? There's no pattern of play. And it's like all the goals we concede. And if it's even funny because I was saying this thing from preseason. All the goals we've conceded from then till now are mostly the same. It's like they are countering us and then our midfield is extremely empty. And this guy has not thought to be pragmatic in a way. And he just closed that problem. It's not like you have a style of play or a plan where, okay, this is what United is trying to achieve. And regardless of what it is, we are going to continue doing this till we get it right. We're not doing anything. And then the problem, we're not trying to fix it. So what are we doing? So as at right now, I don't think ETH is the guy. And if I'm Radcliffe and I'm thinking in the next 2-3 years, do we think ETH will bring us to where we want to be?
It's going to be longer than that, man.
No. I mean, for ETH himself, like, will we be playing the way we want to see United play? If the answer is no, then I think you should just cut your losses now. Or the board decides this is how we want to play. They start signing players to match that philosophy. And in the event where it aligns with what ETH can bring, then, you know, we will go according to that plan. If it doesn't work out that way, at the end of his contract, which I believe is next season, then he just goes. And that way we're not paying him off. And we sign someone else at that point in time. But the risk is this: at the end of this season, a lot of clubs are losing their managers. Like Bayern is losing a manager. Most likely Pochettino, I think, is going to go. Liverpool will lose their manager. Real Madrid with Ancelotti, I think. Barcelona is losing Xabi. Bayer Leverkusen if Alonso goes. So all these guys will be hunting for the good guys. And we don't want to be left with, you know, playing catch up or left with scraps at the end of the day. So I will just bite the bullet now and get this guy out of the way.
I hear what you're saying, but I think he actually makes it to the end of the season. I don't think these guys are going to come shake up the building and just fire ETH like that, even though I think...
End of the season? I wasn't talking about end of the season, though.
No, you're talking about right now.
Sorry, I wasn't talking about right now. No. ETH should not be fired right now. No. We'll get to the end of the season.
Okay.
No, it's either end of the season or end of his contract, which is end of next season.
Wow.
So there are three options.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah. Keep him till end of the season. Keep him till end of his contract. Or what's it called, extend his contract and he would be our coach to, for the next 2-3 years. I think the next 2-3 years is a no-no. I think firing him right now is also a no-no. So we're left with, you know, the end of the season, which I think is right.
Yeah, no, it's, there are some people out there who are saying, you know, like, Arteta was like this too in the second season, that give him, you know, give him time. But I don't know. Why am I not seeing the same thing that, you know, maybe, I think, Arsenal fans complaining about Arteta second season too. Didn't they want to fire him too?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I remember they wanted to fire him too. So I don't know. So are we being too hasty by, you know, saying get rid of Itich, or should we, like Francis suggests, should we actually give him like the third season and just see what he does?
I've never got to spend £250 million though.
I didn't suggest give him next season, no, please.
No, as one of the options.
But the thing with Arteta though, even when Arteta was coaching Arsenal, you could see what Arsenal were trying to do. Even though they were losing, but you could still see something. I can't describe how United plays.
Yeah. And I think that's where ETH lost me, like, because I feel like he's very confused when it comes to his, to how he wants the team to play.
Your team cannot be so dependent on Martinez and Luke Shaw. Like, when they are around, for sure, we play better as a team. We play the build-up play that, you know, he's talking about. And it seems like the whole team feels energized and they have more confidence to play. But then your whole structure cannot be dependent on those two guys, let alone Luke Shaw. Your structure dependent on Luke Shaw.
Anyway, he said Luke Shaw. You almost got him fat by just calling his name.
Bro. Man. Well,
Luke Shaw and Martinez are injured because of ETH, though.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, he failed to take both of them out when he needed to. Everybody saw Luke Shaw got injured.
No. Maybe Luke Shaw, not Martinez.
Martinez, he didn't take Martinez out of that game.
Yeah, but even if he took Martinez out, Martinez would still be injured.
But my point is, like, that points to the desperation that he has. He reeks of the desperation. Everybody saw that tackle. Like, you saw the tackle. Take him out right away. Why are you even leaving him to stay in the game? Same thing with Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw exits a game, the next game he's playing, and then at the end of that, he gets injured. Like, he left one game because he was injured, comes back, you put him straight back in.
And then it's the same thing with Bruno now, last game.
Yeah,
but the thing with Bruno is you don't even know when he's lying and when he's actually injured.
To me, it's like a lot of the things you said end up being true. Last season, we compared United to Brighton, and I can compare United to a number of teams. But let's even use Brighton, right? Brighton this season are not playing as well as they played last season, but the style is still there.
Yeah.
They suffered a lot of injuries. The style is still there, right? Let's take Aston Villa, for example. Aston Villa, the manager got in last season. He was fighting relegation. Aston Villa is ahead of us right now. They are comfortably ahead of us right now. How many players have they signed? How long was the transition? Aston Villa was fighting relegation
last season. They fired Gerrard. So under Gerrard.
So is it magic? Look at Newcastle. Okay, even if you want to say Newcastle is not ahead of us. But Newcastle, you know what you are going to get from them week after week. Tottenham. So again, all of the people I'm mentioning were either signed about the same time as him, or after him, and you can see the impact. And all this man keeps telling us is that he's dealing with injuries. Are you only training your special players? All these players, they are they not been training to? They've been in training with you for 2 years. And we cannot see the evidence of anything. Like, everything that Francis said, it's like, I can live with, okay, I can see your style of play, but we don't have enough good players to execute it. So, okay, we're in a position where we're losing. But we cannot see a discernible style. And then on top of that, you are very stubborn about playing in a certain way. everybody can look at Casemiro, who needs a break, by the way, because he also got injured for this same reason that Martinez and Shaw got injured. This man will drive you to the ground, and he's doing it with Mino and Rashford, but that's a different story. But you see Casemiro, everybody can see Casemiro has lost his step. And yet, you put Casemiro in positions where he still has to cover ground like he is Declan Rice in his prime or Caicedo at Brighton. It's like this guy cannot cover this much ground. Now, think about it. Like, every time you see Casemiro, he's fighting for his life.
He's drowning.
He's drowning, legit. Like, he's either getting a yellow card.
From behind. You know that sliding tackle he does from behind? That he jumps with his two legs.
It's like, I just watch this team and I'm like, why are we playing like this? And the funny thing is, we are not entertaining. You know, it's not like we're entertaining. So this thing where like the midfield is porous and the attack, there is no cutting edge in the attack. So for me, it's just like a coach has to be a coach of the entire squad, not just some of these best players. You are still defending Anthony. Somehow Anthony is still getting game time. The way this man keeps giving him game time is beyond me. You know, like, so for me, I think that's where he's failed. Is you can't fail everywhere. You still have to be a coach for the entire team. Yes, you've had injuries, but a lot of other teams have had injuries. You've had a lot of resources that have come your way. We need to see the evidence. Like, when United play, we win because we just have talent. But I don't see the evidence of a team. When last did Bruno play well? Bruno just kind of goes under the radar. But Bruno has been horrendous. 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 If Haaland doesn't play, who is our striker? We came into the season with 20-20. So, I don't know. I just think, again, some of these things, okay, maybe for some of these things, you can't blame him, but I can definitely blame him for Anthony. And then I can look and see, like, some of the signings we've made, we either don't see the benefit or we just thought you had a better idea of what. Like, I thought at the end of the second season, he has a plan. This man doesn't have a plan. He needs to go. You know, he needs to go. I don't care if he goes now or he goes at the end of the season.
You think so? Like, but then again, I'm thinking, like, I liked him when he was at Ajax. So what changed? Is it the...
Francis, this man said we can't play like we played the Ajax.
Yeah, I understand that, but something must have changed. Is it like this guy, what he did at Ajax was a fluke? Or we just didn't give him the resources to do the same thing that he did there?
I think John Mata has been incompetent. But I can't see it's just a problem of resources. Right? Now, again, like you said, when Martinez doesn't play, it affects our team a lot because we can't bring the ball out of defense. We don't have a press-resistant defender except Martinez. And then Luke Shaw is also good. Dalot, I think, has improved a lot.
But I like that whole
left side is just useless. And a lot of his game is predicated on that left side working for midfield, defense, forward, right? But the thing for me is, I get all of that, but you've had time to build up a team. Last season, you can say, okay, I didn't anticipate some of these problems. But this season, you can't say the same thing. Even when we play with all these guys, it's like I don't see a discernible change in the style of play. All I see is that there are better players on the pitch.
Yeah, look at Postecoglou. Like, look at the way Tottenham plays. Forget if they're going to be a good team or... Like, the way they play is the same, even if they lose Romero or Van der Ven or Son yeah. or the only
sometimes
difference
to the detriment of the team, but like you can see the style.
This the only thing is the quality of the style is not the same, but the style is the same.
I see. For me, if you want to change the style based on your available team, I don't even mind it. But you cannot fail everywhere. You cannot say that I won't give you a discernible style of play, and then I won't win at the same time. Like, one thing that Francis said was, the goals that we concede from the beginning of preseason. If you remember in preseason, I was even like, there's no way they will fix this thing. That cutback is forever there. How? So for me, it's just like, yeah, so stubborn. We look at the midfield. That, from the first game of the season, we played Wolves. I don't remember if that was our first game.
Yeah, it was Wolves.
But I remember we played Wolves. Remember there was this guy, is it Cunha? What's his name? Kept running.
Just yeah, every time he got the ball through the midfield, yeah.
Bro, that run is still being made today. It cannot happen.
Yeah, because all these opponents are watching clips of other clubs and they're doing the same thing again. Look at the game against Fulham. Anytime they counter us, it's always 4v3, 5v3. How? Like, what a normal coach with common sense would do is just, okay, instead of Casemiro going forward, both of your center midfielders going forward, two of you should just sit till you gain control in the game, and then you can now keep carry on doing what you're doing. But his in-game management is one of the worst that I've ever seen.
Yeah,
bro, bear in mind that this conversation we're having with Mino, who is our best midfielder in the team. He's our most press-resisting midfielder.
I hope they don't corrupt that boy.
Yo,
but
I know.
You think about it. What is this team without Mino? That midfield. Is this
We have Van Rabat now. What do you mean?
No. Van Rabat hasn't really played well since he got
his... he's whining now. How are you answering him? Like, who are the options? So again, right now, your boy Casemiro that you've been shouting, injury. Okay, Casemiro is back. Now, Mino and Casemiro are the ones playing, which is what you were saying was your... Remember, preseason, that's what we were saying. Oh, best. This is supposed to be the starting lineup. Mino, Casemiro, and Bruno. It's like, it just looks like you don't know what you are doing. And then
so do you want him to leave now or end up season?
I don't care when he leaves. Because if we're being honest, we're not making top four. We're not making top five. Which is so disappointing. Like, how many points behind Aston Villa are we? 8? I think it's like 8.
Yeah.
There are 12 games left or something like that. So what are you saying? That of the 12 games, which is 36 points available, we are somehow going to get 24 more points than Aston Villa. I'm not playing better than, like, Aston Villa is not even playing great, but we're going to lose these kind of games against Fulham at home. You know, now we're going to play.
What he said after the FA Cup game is like, oh, we're 4 games away from winning a trophy. Like, shut the fuck up and win the trophy if you want to win a trophy.
We're playing Liverpool next, right?
Yeah, we're playing Liverpool.
The guy talks too much.
Is it home or away?
Does it matter?
I don't know, but I think again it's one of those things where the way that he talks is now, it's even more when he starts talking about the team showed heart, it's like what you are saying, what I'm hearing. So the Fulham game, he talks about the team showed heart, the team showed, what I'm hearing is that you are saying that this is an acceptable performance. That's what I'm hearing. He said the future, that if you look at where we're at right now, what did he say? He said something like, if you look at where we're going, the future looks bright. Are you looking at the same future I'm looking at? Which future looks bright? Based on this performance, we are not a team that presses. We are not a team, we don't press, but we are like an in-between team in everything. We don't press, we don't sit back. We don't play possession football. We don't play. What are we? What are we like?
Yeah, we do a lot of everything and a lot of nothing at the same time. It's like, can you just pick what you want to do and stick to that and try and master that one? It's like we start practicing this today. The next game, practicing. How do you play high press and then your midfielders are playing low block? I mean, your defenders are playing low block. It makes no sense. Shouldn't everyone be compact? So if you lose the ball from top to bottom, you have less space to cover to collect the ball. And then you have Onana who can be a sweeper. But then you play high press, but then your defenders are very close to the box 18. So your midfield is like, again, it now goes back to maybe the defenders that he wanted in the summer, we didn't get them. And he already had a plan.
Bro, listen. Our best midfielder this season has been Mino. That is not somebody he signed necessarily. It's like a youngin that just came into the team. So, again, let's say you want to talk about training and all that stuff. Our best defender has been Johnny Evans. Like, I say, okay, Varane and Maguire have played well. I don't want to give them. But Johnny Evans, I don't know if he's had a bad game.
No, yeah, not really.
And I guess when I look at it, it's like, how can that be that somebody that was supposed to be training with you guys to get his fitness is the one that is going to be standing out? Where is your impact on the team itself? Where is your impact with the players that you've had and have been in your team for 2 years? Where is your impact on Anthony? Where is your impact on Rashford this season? Where's your impact? The people that are thriving, Haaland, there are people that have not been here for a long time. Where is your impact on the ones that are now in the second year of your system? Casemiro, where's your impact there? Eriksen, where's your impact there? I guess you can say Dalot. But across the board, where's your impact with Bruno? Where's your impact? Ah, Naby, this guy needs to go. He needs to go. It doesn't matter to me because we're not playing for anything. We're not playing for nothing.
And the other thing, he doesn't have charisma. So to me, and I'm not even trying to compare him to Klopp or this thing, because Klopp is a one of a kind coach. But man, I like my coaches to like command. There's a certain aura you should have where people. I feel like these players don't even send. Like, this guy can just be talking. These guys will be on their phone.
I mean, isn't that what Sancho was accused of doing?
I feel like if they don't send the guy, because the guy no get character, man.
Everywhere. Like, when I say failed everywhere, he's failed as a coach.
Even the way he dresses. He's failed as a manager. Like, this guy has been wearing the same Adidas since they signed him. Don't you get paid?
Nah, for me, the only thing is I don't want them to go and replace him with Graham Potter, something like that. That's not what I'm looking for at this point. At this point, at least I've seen a few reports.
Who would you think? That was my question. Actually, let's hear from Jimmy. Do you know about the coaches that were following? Like, have a preference?
I've heard about De Zerbi.
Yeah,
that's the only one I've seen. Like, to be honest,
Zerbi.
Again, United news, like, we're not, we rarely cross paths these days.
Yeah, there's Zerbi, there's Nagelsmann, there's Potter. They've mentioned Zidane in the past couple of days, and then there's
Zidane won't take this team.
Yeah, there's Amorim in Sporting Lisbon. And someone else.
Yeah. Even like De Zerbi, I don't know if De Zerbi would actually take it. But I guess someone, I feel like De Zerbi, if he's crazy enough to think like he can actually like change everything. So I think De Zerbi might take it.
If De Zerbi is going to get a top job, this is.
De Zerbi might even get a Liverpool job.
I don't know.
I think he might get the Barcelona job.
Like he's gonna get a good job. So I don't know why like he would want to come to United and rebuild.
I mean, United is still a good job.
No. I know it's a good job, but like compared to like, you get what I'm trying to say. Like compared to where like the other teams are, like
Let's not get it to Barcelona too. They are going through their own shit. So it's not like
Barcelona. They have a lot of good players though. Like don't they? Their midfield is set.
Yeah, they do.
It's more than the club. It's more than the players, right?
Yeah.
But I think with United, some of the perks right now is you are also seeing that they are starting afresh.
Yes.
And these guys are talking like real football stuff. So if the culture is set and these guys from a footballing perspective are going to support you, United is actually where you want to be because it is still that club, right? United is a huge club.
And they will give you time.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Like,
I think
if Rafinha, what's his name? ETH. That's basically
ETH. But you see that everywhere, right? Like when there's a new management in town, the guy that they didn't hire is not their guy.
Yeah, he's usually like that. Yeah, that's true. They always want to bring their guy in.
Your guy is going to be tied to your decision making. Now people can see this is your choice. I can judge you based on your choices. Before that, you can say that this guy was hired by the last guy. It's like, he's not my guy. I was just trying to work with him in good faith. But, you know, so I don't know. For me, I would go with De Zerbi for sure.
Oh, you go with De Zerbi? Oh, out of all the guys I mentioned?
Yeah, I would go with De Zerbi.
I'm leaning towards Nagelsmann. I don't know why.
For real?
Bro? Where was Nagelsmann? Yeah. Wasn't he at Bayern?
He was at Bayern and he won the league, and then the next season he was second to Dortmund, but they fired him before the season ended.
Yeah. No, I heard he's a quirky fellow. I don't know if that's you want.
What do you mean by quirky?
Like, there were some things he was doing, like, you know, in the dressing room that wasn't like, you know, vibing.
Wait, wasn't there like a scandal where he was fucking somebody's wife or something?
Yeah, something like that. But there's also like some things, some weird behavioral issues, like in the way he was talking to players or something like that. So I don't know if I knew like it wasn't just footballing reasons why they fired him, if that makes sense.
Nah, Nagelsmann is not somebody I'm looking at. I hope he ends up in like Liverpool or something.
I don't know. I kind of like, I was looking at De Zerbi before, but like Brighton, they've lost quite a few games this year.
Yeah, but Brighton is also
players.
Yeah, Brighton is also a farming system kind of club.
Actually, see where we've experienced a lot of injuries. Like when you go and look at who like Brighton playing this season, it's like it's very hard to actually know who's like some of these guys that like Buenenoche and like you look at their midfield is decimated. They lost Caicedo. They lost.
That was what I was gonna say. Like you know, like when you think about their starters from last season. Like they lost a chunk of good players compared
and
to us.
Players are injured as well. Players have been in and out of the team. So for me, I can even understand. But again, when I watch Brighton, they still have the same style.
Yeah.
You know, and I think maybe listening to that Kevin Prince interview was the other thing that like gave me, because I kind of liked De Zerbi before that. But if you remember that Kevin Prince interview that he did with Rio, he said De Zerbi is the best coach that he's ever come across. That this guy,
but how many coaches has he come across though?
A lot. How many teams did Kevin Prince play for? Think about it. This guy played. Do you even know where he was when he met him? Was it not like Genoa or something? And he had played for AC Milan. You know, he played for Barcelona after he met De Zerbi. That's how good he was playing. Is that he was playing for Genoa. Was it even Genoa? It was like one of these random teams.
Sassuolo.
I don't think it was Sassuolo. Was it Sassuolo?
Yeah, that's where he played for.
Oh, okay. Maybe that. But yeah, it was one of these teams, and then and De Zerbi got him playing, and he said like this guy is, and I'm like, he talks about the way he played, like he kind of broke down his process, right? But if you think about it, like Sassuolo had like a bunch of players that ended up getting sold for good money. Then he leaves Sassuolo, wherever it is, comes to Brighton, and it's the same thing. Like, look at Caicedo without him. Like, look at the impact that he's had on these players in a short space of time. He only got to Brighton last season. So yeah, you think about the impact that he had on the style of play. Like, in a season, by midway last season, people were saying, was it not? I think it was even you and I that had this conversation where you were saying you saw something where somebody was saying that Brighton plays the best like football from out the back. Like they're the best example of a team building up from the back.
Mm.
And this is something that he did in less than half a season with players that are not as good as the players that we have on a budget that was essentially nothing. Like they got rid of Cucurella, they signed this other guy. What's his name? I forget his name now. The other left back that came
Estupian.
Yes, exactly. Right. So for me, it's like I can see there's that's a real impact. It's not about do we have the right players? Can Luis Dunk play for him? It's like that's the impact that the coach actually has. Is okay, I can't sign everybody. And you know that that style of play isn't just okay. When Brighton play the big teams, they have to change it. No, it's like, we're going to play this way every time. And a lot of times, smaller teams are not successful playing that style of football. That's also why you look at someone like what Xavi Alonso is doing in Bayer Leverkusen, and people are like, this is very impressive. Because he didn't ask for better players. He's been there for a season. About a season now, and you can see the impact. So for me, I would say deserving.
So is are we saying ETH is a fraud?
He's a fraud to me. He's a yellow boy.
I wouldn't say he's a fraud, but I will say that. That's why I said I use the term that he's failed. Like I think he's a good coach, and I think he will have the opportunity to go and prove it somewhere else. That is not at the level of United. I think the structure of United did not do him any favors at all, and he was fighting on multiple fronts. But unfortunately, when you lose it, you lose it. Like you said, he's dealing with human beings, right? So he's having to talk to players, and if they are checked out on him already, it's like you can't get that shit back, right? And for me, it's like, where he's failed, again, isn't just that as a coach, you can make the argument there, is that when it came time to look at what is happening over, like last season, nobody was saying this, but this season it's like, okay, things are not going your way. What is the evidence? This is now where you start working, where we see the work that you're going to do. And the choices that you're making, we're just looking at it constantly and we're saying, nah, this team has to be better. Like there has to be a better evidence for your impact on this team than we are seeing. So either you didn't plan properly ahead of time, or you are not good. And maybe we'll find out that you are good, but it won't be here.
Yeah, I think we've covered each year. Like ETH, I don't know what else to talk about him. He has another opportunity to prove himself against the big boys. We have a game on Sunday, the Manchester Derby. I think are we home or away to City?
We're
away to City.
Well, I said it we very confidently, but to be honest, I think we played them at home.
Where are we?
Haaland just scored how many goals?
What do you mean?
Haaland, he just scored how many goals?
Oh, in the cup?
Yeah.
I don't know, but five. He was due, though. He was due because he's been missing a lot of like chances recently. And you so knew that.
Now, a game before he plays United, decides to score 5 goals.
You knew the team. That 5 could have been against us, though. Knowing the way that some of these games have been lopsided.
And this is the same United team that is giving up 20 chances a game like it's nothing. Bro. But glove.
Maybe they'll zig this time around. What we expect? Let me say buckle up. It's gonna be a long ride on Sunday. I really have no expectations. I have nothing to expect from United in this game. Like I think City is going to win the game. I don't know if any of you two feel different about how you see the game going. Even though I think we actually play City better than we play Liverpool. Liverpool is the one that I feel like we're always just letting like a ton of goals. But
ETH hasn't played Liverpool City well. I feel like he's played Liverpool better than. Obviously, we lost to Liverpool in a big way, but yeah. I don't feel like that game was as. Like we played well in Spurs in that game. Again, when I say played well, like we were in the game in the first half. If you remember at the end of the first half, it was like 1-1 or 0-0 or something like that. It's the second half that we just capitulated.
We played them this season away. We was tied 0-0. But ETH has played City about 3 or 4 times and he's won only once. He's lost the remaining. So, because we played them in FA Cup final last season, we lost. We played at Etihad last season, then they beat us 6-3. We played at Old Trafford, we won 2-1. We played at Old Trafford this season, they beat us 3-0. So, Pep just keeps spanking this guy, man. And this guy is not going to do anything different tomorrow.
No.
Nope. After this thing, he'll come out and say, you could see the spirit and the fight and the resilience, eh? The resilience, eh? In the team. Like, that guy's voice annoys me.
That's actually good.
but then well, we keep the too many games to go. We'll keep playing one game at a time.
Oh my God. I guess, yeah, let's go straight into lineups. I don't think it's going to be any major changes. Onana in goal, Dalot.
That's Onana, man. I feel like he's weathered the storm a little bit. Like
it's not raining, no. There's no storm. You don't know if he has weathered it or not.
Oh, Onana, we'll leave Onana until later on, man. Onana, you go Dalot, Varane, Maguire, Lindelof. I don't know why. Is Lindelof the best player left that can play left back? Or is there a reason
why? The real question is, where is Malacia?
Is he not injured?
Bro, this guy was injured in preseason. If you tear ACL, sir, you should be warming up to come back right now. What's going on?
In midfield, Casemiro and Meno. And then Bruno. And then you have Rashford. You have Rashford. Because Ireland is still injured. So Rashford, Garnacho, and Anthony, I guess. Rashford plays up front. Because I can't think of anybody else who's going to play. Francis.
Double cheeseburger and goal. Dalot, Varane. I think Maguire is still injured. I don't know if he's ready. So I'll go with Lindelof and then Amrabat in his left midfield defensive back position.
Isn't he inverted?
Inverted.
Amrabat against Doku.
No, Doku plays
the
left.
Other side.
Doku plays against Dalot.
KDB
usually overlaps. KDB. The other guy.
Kyle Walker.
No. The really small.
Oh,
Danny Silva. No, Bernardo Silva, sorry.
Oh, Bernardo, you're right. Bernardo Silva. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Either Foden or Bernardo Silva.
Yeah. So, yeah, Amrabat, then Casemiro, Maino, Bruno, and then up front, Rashford, Garnacho, and so Ahmad, this Ahmad will not make it in this United. I think Anthony will play again.
Oh my!
I didn't see the, like, I didn't watch the FA Cup game like that. Did Anthony
play? Good decision. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't watch it like that too, so I don't know.
Because I think when Anthony was coming off, I think the commentator was complimentary of him. But anyway.
No. I remember Alan Shearer saying all this guy does is just get the ball caught back. He doesn't try to beat a man. I remember him saying that.
There's a person that over 10 years is the fastest in the world. Okay, now. Anyway. Onana in goal is, I'm going to go with Wan-Bissaka at left, at right back.
He hasn't played in a long time though.
Wan-Bissaka is injured now.
Is he injured?
Yeah, like, yeah, you think he's just, you know, on the bench?
I thought he was. Are you sure he's not on the bench?
I think no, he was not on the bench.
Oh, okay. Okay, Dalot, Varane, Johnny Evans, Lindelof. And then in midfield, Casemiro.
Johnny Evans wasn't on the bench too, Sha. I don't know if that's by, maybe just as the cup.
They're resting him now for important games. So midfield, I'm going to go Casemiro. I don't think Mino played this last game. He didn't start.
He came on as a sub.
Who started? McTominay.
McTominay, Eriksen, McTominay, Casemiro, and Bruno Fernandes started.
Okay.
And then Garnacho, Rashford, and Terry.
Okay, so I'm going to go Bruno, Casemiro, and Mino, and then an attack. Garnacho, Rashford, and Hoyland.
Hoyland is not good.
Surprise return. Because this desperado is going to go to, he's going to take him to the hospital himself. He has to go Loshi. You'll be done by it for the rest of the season after this game tomorrow, after this game on Sunday.
I'll go 3-1 to City. Francis.
4-0.
El Maestro.
I'm going to go 1-1.
What?
In a draw at the Etihad. The El Maestro guy is still strong. Don't forget that.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. now I've forgotten like the closing words. Thank you for listening. Please give us a follow on socials at What Will Fergie Do on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Also rate and review us, 5 stars only, anything less than 5 stars.
Didi and McMill.
You're on a-